strange world, hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take.
Did the cavemen have emotions?
Yes.
Where'd they get them from?
They were born with them, just like you.
We're born with emotions? We're set up from the beginning?
Yeah.
Well, now, how does that happen? How do you get emotions?
That's part of the soul.
So when you take your first breath, which is the baby takes a breath, that's the creation of the soul, which when
that's the entering of a soul into the body, yes.
And just so people don't get confused, when you transition, the soul is left here. We call it ghost. So
it starts here and it stays here. That's correct.
So the first breath or so, emotion and soul is starting.
First breath, not first breath or so, first breath.
Where is the emotion? Why would there be emotion in the first breath?
Because that's attached to the soul. It's the soul conditioning.
Oh, the soul is emotion.
It's no, we didn't say that. We said it's a part of the soul.
Where does the soul come from?
It's already here.
There's souls just floating around?
Well, yeah, that's why we've been speaking for about a year about the recently undead.
So a recently undead soul can jump into
a new body?
No,
the soul is a recently undead.
Yes, and all the souls that are still are. So
Recently undead, so that would mean alive. Yeah, they were undead, then they became a body.
So that's reincarnation.
No, it's not. That's like saying that, is that glass of water that you're drinking, is that old water? Is that water that's new water or fresh water? No, it's water. Well, is that water I've already drank before? Oh, it's reincarnated water. No, that's not what we're saying. Water's water. Souls are souls.
You mean the water is flowing, so you couldn't tell where it begins and ends your particular glass if you threw it back in the...
Exactly. Be careful. The FDA will make a drug to clean up your reincarnated water.
When the essence is in the cup that they're going to manifest, the soul is the first stage of that?
No. No. It's the life begins when the cell is fertilized, and that's when non-physical attaches. And that settles that argument finally. When a cell, an egg, is fertilized, it is alive. It has non-physical. It is alive. It is that otherwise it wouldn't grow. It has non-physical attached to it. It's separate.
But it's not a soul yet.
That's right. It only has a soul when it takes its first breath.
And the soul is hanging around waiting for the birth?
Absolutely.
That person, like Billy gets born, it's Billy's soul that was waiting for Billy?
Yes.
So the essence of Billy in the guff, as he's created a new manifestation, the soul is part of what he's creating.
Yes, and that's already here in this plane, not anywhere else.
Someone being born right now, their soul was always here.
Yes, absolutely.
Silver. The child in the womb already getting oxygen from the mother? Or is it referring to the breath when after birth when they take their first breath?
Babies don't get oxygen in the womb.
After the child is born, the first breath is the indicator.
The indicator meaning that's when they get their own soul.
So the eternal part of the physical part of ourselves is the soul. It's here before and it's here after.
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
Okay. The soul is the essence of here. It's already here. You are an eternal being. We're just trying to convince you of it. There is no time. We're just trying to point that out. So if you get all those things out of the way, this becomes a real easy-peasy thought, okay? You have non-physical is attached from the guff when you are, are you consummated? Is that how it goes? Or you are bred, or you are fertilized egg, when that cell makes the force field around it so that nothing else can permeate that cell and it divides. The second that first dividing of that cell happens, that's when non-physical is attached.
And that's not the soul.
That's not the soul. And it's separate, it's in the mother, but it's separate. And the initial response, more times than not, is in that first process, the extra non-physical that's attached to the baby that's in the mother's womb, the mother gets sick because the extra energy that flows through her beingness now sends her into a kilter, and you end up with what they call morning sickness more times than not. Not always, but it's an indicator. okay? Now, once that baby is born, the umbilical cord's still intact, everything's good, all is well. They birth them babies in pools now, so they come from fluid into fluid. There's all kinds of fun things you can do. But when that baby takes its first breath on planet Earth, that's when the soul embraces the non-physical and the meat sack of that little baby.
And that soul is like the individual emotional personality kind of thing.
We'd like to say it's kind of like a hard drive on a soul level, but not so much. But you can reboot the soul, so that is, you know, and you can defrag the soul. Lots of people go to church to get their soul cleaned up and get the fragmentation out of it.
That's based on, cleaned up would be relating to emotions and thoughts about the distance between you and you. That's what that would be.
That's right. That's right. It becomes just the scorekeeper of how far down the field we want to go.
But that soul is individual. It's really the key to how you, even though you evaporate into the water of the guff, but the part of you that remains forever. So when my mother comes to me, it's sort of like her soul, which was always before it became physical.
That's correct. And that's why we call it residue after they've passed.
It's the soul that's eternal. The non-physical is even beyond that description. A.S.A. Scott, he says, a comment stated by Ion, quote, "We are not God." A.S.A. Scott says, "I was under the understanding, now Ion will go into the understanding versus overlaying, I was under the understanding, we all are of that essence of God as a drop of water in the ocean. That contains the basic principles. All the drops combined are the ocean."
Yes, it's a great delineation of how non-physical is not God. You human creators are the God, and you've got it all tangled up. You think God is some inky, misty vapor somewhere that's smoting all the humans that aren't behaving, when it's the other way around.
So God is not in the guff.
Right. It's here on Earth, creating.
Yeah, that's the big lie. God's in heaven.
We're waiting on the Messiah to come back. Well, good luck. He's already here.
Are the souls individual souls?
They're individual.
So that's the individual part of our essence.
That's the residue. That's why you can then record history of what, say, Nostradamus in a quatrain thought. He'll think about what Nostradamus thought, just like he was speaking or thinking still today. Well, that's from that residue, because it doesn't go away. You creators can't uncreate.
And that's why there can't be reincarnation, because there's only one soul, the you, and it's always been and always will. But the essence of yourself, that's something different that helps mix it up with the other soul, the non-physical, in the ocean, and that creates you.
What essence are you talking about?
It's the essence. That's a term I and I agreed on. The essence is what goes to the non-physical, not the soul. Whatever essence is, the essence of you. The soul is part of the thinking, right?
No.
Oh, the thoughts are not soul.
Right.
Oh, souls are more emotions. Okay. So the thoughts don't stay here, and the unrealized thoughts, and they go into the guff, and they mix up, and then new essences who are going to manifest, they pick up on those unrealized creations. All right, that clear, because if the soul was thinking, then that would mix that all up. But the soul, the unrealized creations are not connected to the soul. I mean, this is getting like medieval monks describing the number of angels on the head of a pin, but it's accurate this time.
It's very wonderful, and as we get very, very, very booked out on our reading schedule, we'd like to make Bob available for private.
Yes, because he said, souls are emotions, but are souls emotions?
No, we said no.
Okay, well, what are souls then? What is that?
Now, you have a meat sack, you have non-physical, okay, and you have a soul, but the soul is an active correlator of your human experience. That's why we call it residue when you lay your body down. So the soul doesn't have anywhere to go.
It's like a Xerox machine. Xerox is your experience.
Yes, it takes care of all those peptide interactions, yes.
And it also plays with the non-physical in a way. With the physical. It plays with the physical that shows up. It already is.
Physical and the non-physical and the non-physical. So see, what we're trying to get you to, this place that you are the marvelous creator and have all this needed all together, needed all together as one. And when that happens, then the ascension process is all but good, and you know your power. You take your power back that you laid away, And your soul then becomes an active participant in this whole trilogy.
Trinity. I was going to bring this up. You said trilogy.
Well, just wait a minute, because you're going to mix it up.
Oh, okay. Trilogy.
Trilogy is three parts told as one story. Trinity is a separation between the meat sack, the non-physical, and the labyrinth of the mind.
And where does the soul fit in that trinity?
It does not. It's part of the trilogy, not part of the trinity.
What does the soul do after the physical body dies? Does it roam around and do things?
It just hangs around on planet Earth, yeah. It's they all line up for jobs on Halloween for the spook houses.
Is the soul all-knowing, like when you're non-physical?
Now, well, there's an aggregate. There's an aggregate involved. See, because sometimes you can have a tormented soul, one that's tormented, that's cross, and therefore you can have a different reality. So basically, when they lay the meat sack down, whatever is developed to that point, that's where it stops.
On the way to the death, you have to judge yourself. You can do it in the physical or in the transition. What is the soul in relation to that judging process?
The jury.
And the soul is indifferent. It's not going to the gut. It doesn't care. It's your aspect of yourself that decides how you're doing.
Well, it presents all the evidence, because if it's the Xerox copy of your life, then that's what you see flashing before you.
Oh, when you see your life flashing, that's your soul you see.
That's exactly.
Very good. Now, are we walking around here with our deceased family around us as souls?
Many are, yes.
Okay, Earl, I recently discovered that the heart regulates the emotions through ionic channels in the heart. You agree with that statement, Ion?
Yes, that's why it has to be contained in a sac, the pericardium. That's why they can do heart transplants.
Does this mean that the heart regulates positive ions versus negative ions?
There are no negative ions.
Is this how emotions are made?
No, it's how they're contained.
By the heart mechanism.
Well, that's what he's pointing out, but it's a larger dynamic, but that we can stay with that for him. That's okay.
Is the heart a physical metaphor for the fact that love is a force field?
You could say it. That's why we said leave it that way, because you can get a great deal of good out of that. It's larger than that, but if you want to contain it in that place just so you can wrap yourself around it, then great. No problem.
So is the heart the inner kingdom relationship?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so it's
a little larger. It's a little larger than that. We don't want to limit it just to the little heart muscle itself.
Right.
But it's a good way to get you to a place of going, oh, I got it, but it is a little bit more. Yes, okay, very good.
We talk about what's the condition of ourselves in the gulf, or you might wonder, well, am I aware that I'm in the gulf? You know, when I transition and I end up in the gulf, do I know who I am? Am I disappeared? Most people understand Ion saying that there is no individuality in the guff. You're gone. You're obliterated. Then when the metaphorical glass scoops more water out of the guff, and that water consists of parts of unrealized creations and whatever else, and then that's spilled into the new womb, that's how a person starts their being here in the physical. And Ion says there's no reincarnation. So I don't know, something is not there, but your unrealized creations are there, and then they go into the mixture of whatever went into the glass. Ion's saying the goal is to stay in the physical and not transition to the guff. Ion says that the guff is created by humans. It was a condition, a place to go when you wanted to get out of the physical. So if you think of being in the physical and you have the ability to create, then maybe your sense of individuality, which is in the physical, if you stay in the physical, you always have it. And actually, to go to the guff is a cop-out, because you lose your individuality, because you're kind of trying to escape from being a creator or some pressure or pain, so you go to an obliteration point. It seems to me that you wouldn't get obliterated if you stayed here and remained a marvelous creator. Okay, but then, to get in a position of being an ascending person who has their physical, non-physical, and labyrinth of the mind in harmony and resonance, whatever's new is happening, it's not offending your labyrinth, does that require a loss of some kind of individuality? So I actually, in the course of discussing this with a friend, I thought, oh, yeah, we can maintain your individuality or your individual consciousness, and you don't get blipped out if you stay here. So that's the question. Could you correct whatever I'm probing towards or agree with it?
It's actually pretty good, but let's add a little bit more. Since everybody's now totally and completely befuddled and confused, let's confuse them a little further. Non-physical is power, energy, okay? It's energy. You're non-physical. Everybody has it. Let's take your house, for example. Your house is full of electricity. You have all these receptacles and plug-ins that electricity is flowing through. Now, what you're saying, Bob, is that if you, when you plug in to the power source, then that's an individual amount of electricity. And we say, yes, it absolutely is. And then once that goes back, is it lose itself in all the other electricity? Well, yes, but it's the individuality, the same juice that you use to make your toaster, that'd be toaster electricity. So an individual person would then be toaster electricity. But the energy that flows, it still is. Because, see, the alternating of an AC current or even a direct current, that energy, you have it all around you. You have all of non-physical around you. Now, if you decide to throw away your toaster and your refrigerator and your looky box and all the things that you use to plug into the power, if you throw all those things away, you have no reason to maintain an individual source of power. But that power, non-physical, us, is that same existence that would be in the guff. So it would be then a power reserve. Now, does it have unrealized creations in it? Yes. All the electricity that's in the grid that hasn't made toast yet, it's perfectly happy and ready at any moment to come forth and make toast. Okay? But now that electricity, that energy, that pure positive source energy that is just that. Your non-physical is one. It's electricity. It's energy. So everyone has non-physical. Well, if you throw your toaster away, does that mean that electricity is obliterated? No. But is there toast that has not yet been created in your reality? Yes. So all of the guff is standing in abeyance waiting for a new toaster to be plugged in. So the more that there is pent-up toast that hasn't been allowed to flow as a creation on your planet, the more ready that unrealized creation makes it even more. And then they'll come up with fancy toasters. Now your toaster can tell the difference between a bagel, pastry, reheating, and making toast. Now the toasters get smarter and smarter and smarter that are plugging into source energy. So the flow, and we're saying that if you come into the place where you have your physical and all your non-physical, your power, and you don't get lost in the labyrinth of your mind, then you can have the super toaster. That's where the humans are going to. They're going to super toasters. Now, a toaster might be a little rough metaphor, but you could apply that to hair dryers. You could apply that to electric cars. You could apply that to anything you want to apply it to. But the dynamic of this flow is this individual separateness doesn't qualify, nor is it applicable, because energy is energy. And it flows. It's ready to flow at any time. Now, is it an individual's position as a human creator to decide how to run their toaster? Yes. Are there different kinds of toasters? Yes. Do they run on the same non-physical source energy? Yes. Is there clean energy and dirty energy and good energy and bad energy? No. It's all just energy. And that's the same flow that you're trying to lay out here. And you did it pretty beautifully. This is just the fullness of this, that you're not going. The reason to transition is because you don't want to stay. The reason to throw the toaster away is you don't want to make toast anymore. When you're Mesac, when you get nowhere, you don't want to play anymore. You lay your body down. And they'll bury you or burn you or chunk you in a ditch or build a concentration camp and gas you good when you get ready to go. No problem.